Well, brethren, it's just a little over 1 month to Passover, and God encourages us before the Passover to judge ourselves so that he will not have to judge us. But also in another place, we read that we should be examining ourselves continually and not just once a year. That examination is to see whether we are in the faith. In thinking about this, I realise there is a typical failing of human nature which most people have, including myself, and that is envy. So what's so bad about envy? Well, it's mentioned in the Bible quite a few times, and I'd like to go through some mentions of in God's word and see how he wants us to think. Now, just before Passover, there was an interesting scene in Jerusalem. In fact, it was a bit like a carnival. People were gathered along the side of the road, waving, putting their clothes down on the ground to make a path. A famous person was arriving in Jerusalem. Matthew 21, verses 8 and 9. That's Matthew 21, verses 8 and 9, informs us, "And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This was not just a few people, but as it states, a very great multitude. Now remember, when Christ fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, it says they were a great multitude. So a very great multitude would be quite a high number. Many thousands of people were doing this. But this activity was observed by the religious leaders. The chief priests and the scribes were mentioned here. Now they had never been treated like this. No one had given them this kind of praise. As it states, they were indignant. Hatred had developed in their minds, and they were anxious to eliminate the Christ. We can read that Pontius Pilate understood their motives. Now, Pontius Pilate was an experienced politician and understood men and their motives very well. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 18, that's Matthew 27, verse 18, we read, "For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy." Jesus had received the praise that they wanted, and they did not receive it, so they envied him. Their envy was so great, they were willing to get rid of the creator of the universe because he received more acclaim than they did. So what is a definition of envy? One definition is, it is a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, and it has been around since the beginning of human experience. It could be a physical thing, or a position in life, or praise from others. The very first murder occurred because of Cain's resentment or envy of his brother's gift being accepted by God and his own rejected. This is related in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Cain's anger was so great that he finished up killing his brother." Another well-known example was King Saul. He became very envious when he heard the women singing that Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Was he glad that David was helping protect the kingdom of Israel, risking his life for the nation? No, he was envious and hated the fact that David received more praise than himself. After all, he was king. This is related in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 to 9. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 to 9. "Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, and with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced, and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day forward. In fact, Saul was so angry that he ultimately made about 10 attempts to kill David, and even in one instance tried to kill his own son, who favoured David. That was the result of envy. He had a great resentment of David. As we understand from these three examples, envy resulted in murder in two of them and attempted murder in the third. So what does God consider? Well, he tells us in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 31. In Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 31. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful." We see in this list both covetousness and envy listed separately. At first consideration, covetousness and envy appear to have similarities. So, of course, I looked up the commentary to see what the difference was. Now, covetousness usually implies illegally desiring another person's possessions, whereas envy includes wanting to lower or harm the other person, even destroy them, as we saw in the three previous examples. This is an attempt to elevate the self by lowering another person. In a number of places, we are told to get rid of envy, along with other things like deceit. It's also included in a list of the works of the flesh, along with murders and drunkenness. But unfortunately, it is an integral part of the makeup of the natural human mind, so it can be very difficult to rid ourselves of this attitude. It is like a cancerous growth. It can eat away at the mind and distort our thinking. As God says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." Now, envy can spring from a feeling of having been slighted in some way. Have our associates received better paying jobs, more physical assets, a promotion that we thought we should have had, or even a higher position in church? These thoughts can, over time, develop into a form of bitterness, so we should get rid of these attitudes before they fully develop. We are told in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, Romans chapter 12, verse 15, there is an antidote to envy. Just like we heard recently that there is an antidote to pride. We read there, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." Our approach should be one of helping the other individual towards success. If we rejoice with others over their success, we can no way can we be envious of them. Look at the example of John the Baptist. He was one who was totally not envious. Now, he had a sizable following, and many came from long distances to hear him. Some even thought he was a Christ to come. But when Jesus came, he stood aside and told the crowds that he, Christ, was more important. As we read in John chapter 1, verse 15, that's John chapter 1, verse 15, in the last part, "He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Later he said of Jesus in John chapter 3 verse 30, again John chapter 3 verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now he was in no way envious. While he was preaching and baptizing, he had a major part to play in God's work. But when Christ came, he voluntarily submitted and offered to help that individual. This is the opposite of envy. Now what about Jonathan? That's King Saul's son. He reacted to David in the opposite manner to that of his father, King Saul. Jonathan was destined to be the next king of Israel. He understood that David was to take that position instead of himself. Jonathan could have been envious of David, but instead he helped and protected him whenever it was possible. He warned David of his father's plan to kill him. He was not seeking his own welfare, but that which was planned by God. It was to be God's will, not his own, that mattered. So the antidote really to envy is love. And we know in the love chapter, that's 1 Corinthians 13, that the third attribute of love, it does not envy. So if we have trouble acknowledging the success of others, we should ask God for help, because it is his will that we develop a concern for others. The Apostle Paul stated that we should not seek our own, but each other's well-being. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. This is the opposite to envy, seeking good for others. In fact, in the very encouraging epistle to the Philippians, Paul said in chapter 2, verse 3, that's chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done in selfish ambition or conceit, or I will add in envy, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. God, through the Apostle Paul, gives us instruction to be content with what we have, especially if there's no proper way to achieve what we seek. Even John the Baptist told his soldiers to be content with their wages. When we think about it, the number of things we have does not define what kind of person we are. It does not define our character. I have just been reading a couple of books which are basically interviews with dying men. Those men realized that what was important in life was how they helped others, not how much they had or what glory they received. We know that godliness with contentment is great gain. After all, if you are content with what you have, you cannot be envious. So to sum up, envy is basically coveting with evil intent what others have received, and is breaking the 10th commandment and even the 1st commandment. So brethren, as Passover approaches, you and I should ask ourselves, how much envy do I have, or am I content? Desire is not wrong, but envy will destroy us like a cancer, like the cancer it is.